Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. We are getting closer to the NFL draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're going to be talking about, in just a moment, Derek Harmon, and we're going to do our deep dive today into the player that everyone seems to think is going to be a Green Bay Packer, which of course means there is about a 0.0% chance that he becomes a Green Bay Packer, because it's just how those things work. But in all seriousness, he is one of the favorites to be potentially the pick at number 23. If you look at just about any mock draft, he is at least mentioned or considered. And I know a lot of Packers fans, Packers pundits, draft analysts, etc., would like to see Derek Harmon end up in Green Bay. Am I one of those people? You will have to wait and see. We will go through the full breakdown today. Before we get there, just a couple quick things. First of all, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Garrett Witt, Isaiah Ortiz, and Zach Wellman. Thanks so much for signing up. I want to give you all, one of these is going to be a brand new announcement, by the way, all of the things that I have going on live for the NFL draft. All right, so Thursday night, April 17th, 1 week before the draft, Aaron Nagler and I are going to be doing a pre-Timber Rattlers game Q&A ahead of the Timber Rattlers game. So you can get tickets to the Timber Rattlers game and attend the Q&A. I'll have a link in the description for the episode today. Aaron and I will both do the Q&A. I think we're both going to throw out the first pitch. Since I got to do the Bratzuka last year when I did it on my own, Aaron's going to do the Bratzuka this year, but it's going to be a ton of fun. Obviously, collaborating with Cheesehead TV is always amazing. So really looking forward to that. And it's like, I think it's $10 and you get into the game, you get the Q&A with Aaron and I. It's well worth your time and the price of admission. The Timber Rattlers game in and of itself is for sure. So make sure to check that out. Again, April 17th, Timber Rattlers game, Aaron Nagler and I. 1 week later, Wednesday, April 23rd, during the day, I believe I'm actually going to be doing another event with Cheesehead TV. I'll keep you posted when I have all the details on that. But Wednesday night, April 23rd, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Hagemeister Park in Green Bay, downtown Green Bay, I'm going to be doing a live draft Q&A. So there's no price of admission. There's no cost. There's no signing up for tickets ahead of time. There's none of that. So all you have to do is show up. And I think we're going to get a great turnout there. I'm expecting a great turnout. And I'm really, really excited about doing that live Q&A at Hagemeister Park, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, the night before the NFL draft. So if you're coming in early for the draft, make sure to check that out on Wednesday. And then Saturday night, this is the brand new announcement. Saturday night, April 26th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Titletown Brewery in the tap room. I'm going to be doing a live post-draft Q&A. So now that we've seen and heard all of the picks that have been made by Green Bay, we'll break them all down for you. Live Q&A, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., April 26th, that Saturday night. Again, Titletown Brewery tap room. Looking forward to seeing you guys live. Make sure to come say hello. We'll do a little bit of meet and greet as well on some of those. And I'm sure I'll stick around after and say hi to everyone as well. But I'm really looking forward to that. Make sure to check those out if you can. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys there. No real notes, news, anything that happened during the weekend. Jaire Alexander is still a member of the Green Bay Packers. So we get to dive right into Derek Harmon, his pros, his cons, the pluses and minuses, everything that we need to go over so that you have all the information that you need in order to understand exactly what Derek Harmon would bring to the Green Bay Packers if and when he is the selection at pick 23. Or, you know, more likely he's like a Baltimore Raven or something, right? This player is, as I mentioned, a player that is often mocked to Green Bay. He is appropriately 23rd on Daniel Jeremiah's big board. So right in that meaty order of where Green Bay is selecting, obviously exactly at pick 23. As far as his profile goes, 6'4", 313-pound defensive tackle out of the University of Oregon. Played 3 years at Michigan State. One of those was a redshirt season, but spent 3 years in Michigan State. And then this past season, his 1 year at the University of Oregon. He was a second-team Associated Press All-American. He was a third-team All-Big Ten. How that works, I don't pretend to know. How you could be third team Big Ten, but second team All-American. That's like David Bakhtiari always going to, or always winning All-Pro, but never getting to a Pro Bowl. I don't know exactly, again, how that gets to that point, but he should have certainly been in the conversation for first team All-Pro, if not second. And he should have certainly been in the conversation for first team All-Big Ten, but it doesn't really matter. He was a highly regarded defensive tackle this past year at Oregon. As far as testing goes, usually the testing is going to tell us a lot as to whether or not they are a fit for the Green Bay Packers or not. We know they love their high-end athletes, and we can look at certain agility scores and things like that. And unfortunately for Derek Harmon, we get almost nothing. We get some things that definitely matter. We have the height and weight, 6'4", 313. And then the only thing that he did from a testing standpoint was the 40-yard dash, which thankfully he tested very well at. A 4.95 40-yard dash, which is in the 88th percentile for defensive tackles. He had a 1.74 10-yard split, which was in the 75th percentile. And then he was in 90th percentile for height and 82nd percentile for weight. So great height, good weight, and still ran the 40 at the 88th percentile at 4.95. So very, very impressive athlete. And it shows up on tape as well. Now, there's some limitations that we'll talk about, and I have a feeling there's a very strong reason that he did not do the three cone or the short shuttle, because there is a little bit of stiffness there that probably would not have translated well into those drills. And that's going to be an interesting aspect as to whether or not Green Bay is super interested in him, because they usually value those a lot. I don't know how he would have tested. And unfortunately for Green Bay, no, neither do they. They don't know exactly what he would have tested there. So we'll see if that would be a limiting factor for them or not. Statistically, these are just the raw stats. In 2024, he played in 14 games, had 45 tackles, 11 tackles for loss, 5 sacks, 4 passes defended, 2 fumble recoveries, and 2 forced fumbles. So definitely stacked the stat sheet a little bit there. 2023, 12 games, 40 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 1 pass defended, 1 forced fumble. In 2022, 12 games played, 30 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 1 pass defended, 1 fumble recovery. And in 2021, only played in 4 games as a redshirt, had 1 tackle, and that was it. What you will notice over the last 3 seasons is he played quite a bit. 14 games, 12 games, 12 games. There's really been no real legitimate injury concerns or anything that would give you cause. As far as I'm aware, I've not heard of nor seen any, you know, off-field concerns or anything of that ilk. So no off-field red flags, no injury red flags. He's pretty clean and crisp when it comes to that. And major programs, right? Michigan State, Oregon, these are big-time programs in the Big Ten. And he played very, very well during his time, specifically this past year at Oregon, going against top competition. All right, per PFF, 1,572 snaps in his career. In 2021, he played 36 snaps at a 67.7 grade by them. In 2022, he played 470 snaps, had a 59.8 grade. In 2023, played 475 snaps, had a 78.5 grade. And then in 2024, 591 snaps, an 81.0 grade, including a 80.5 run defense grade and an 86.3 pass rush grade. What you love to see here is 470 snaps, 475, 591, continue to play more. 59.8 grade, 78.5, 81.0, continue to get better. He's continuing on that upward trajectory, which is exactly what you want to see. Also per PFF, this past year had 346 pass rush snaps, had 5 sacks, 11 hits, 44 hurries for 60 total pressures, a 17.9% win rate, and 2 batted passes. The year before, 232 pass rush snaps, 1 sack, 1 hit, 18 hurries, 20 pressures, a 9.9% win rate, and 1 batted pass. And the year before that, 220 pass rush snaps, 3 sacks, 2 hits, 11 hurries, 16 pressures, 7.3% win rate, and 1 batted pass. So again, 7.3% win rate in 2022, then 9.9 in 2023, 17.9 in 2024, consistently better. 16 pressures in 2022, 20 in 2023, 60 in 2024, consistently better. What you can question is, was it a little bit of a one-year wonder? Now, the good news is he was still good at Michigan State. Like, there was never like a, just like, oh, he was a terrible player, and then, boom, oh my goodness, now he's amazing. Like, there's been a progression, and that gives you more reason for optimism than if it was like, he did nothing, he did nothing. Oh, he looks like a star. that usually doesn't always go well. What you want to see is always good, always better, always great. And that's what we're starting to see from Derek Harmon. In his career per PFF, 815 pass rush snaps, 9 sacks, 14 hits, 73 hurries, and 96 total pressures. Amongst draft eligible defensive tackles, he was first in pressures, first in pass rush productivity, second in pass rush win rate, and second in overall pass rush grade. So his pass rush graded out very, very well per PFF. All right, as far as scouting reports go, I'm going to get to my positives and negatives in just a moment. But as I always like to tell you, I am not the be-all end-all on everything. So I like to get opinions from others as well. Two people I trust a lot, Lance Zierlein and Daniel Jeremiah. We'll start with Daniel Jeremiah's scouting report. Per DJ, Harmon is a quick, disruptive defensive tackle with excellent instincts. As a pass rusher, he has quick hands to knock away the punch of opposing linemen. He also has a club rip move that helps him collect early wins. He flashes an occasional bull rush, but I'd like to see more of it because it's effective. Against the run, he's very aware and avoids getting displaced by down blocks. He can anchor down versus double teams, and he excels at shooting gaps to disrupt and redirect runners. Overall, Harmon has a great feel for the game and can create a lot of havoc despite lacking an elite trait. Lance Zierlein, position versatile building block that makes moving the football a much tougher task. Harmon is a wide, long, and naturally powerful at the point of attack defensive tackle. He can create traffic jams inside as a two-gapper or stunt and power his way into the backfield. He's unlikely to be a primary sack man, but he can be part of a swarm unit that batters the pocket. He's high cut and tight hipped, which limits his agility and reactive athleticism to finish. Harmon can play up and down the line in both odd and even fronts. He will bring an instant dose of stinginess and toughness to any defense he joins. Per an NFL executive, quote, he reminds me of a young Cam Hayward, but bigger. And that was on NFL.com. So some really positive things from DJ and Lance Zierlein. A couple negatives in there as well. When I turned on the tape, before I even get into the positives and negatives, I don't read the scouting reports. I say this every time, but I do not read any of the scouting reports before looking at the tape. Just, I need to see it with my own eyes before I go out and read anything. So some of these things you're going to hear very similarly, but these were all notes done prior to going over any scouting reports from anyone whatsoever. But one of the things that I did know going into watching the tape was that this was a much mocked player to Green Bay. And this was a player that I know a lot of people I know and respect have thought very highly of, and that they're hoping gets to Green Bay at 23. And sometimes when you turn on the tape like that, you have expectations or whatever the case may be, which is why I try to avoid all that stuff, but it just naturally happens. And sometimes it's just, you turn on the tape and you're like, oh, what is all the fuss about? With Harmon, it was evident almost immediately. And just a player that the tape matches the stats, matches the hype, matches everything. And I can't give specific examples of this. I wish I could over the course of time and maybe have just tracked this a little bit better. But one thing that I will note is when the seemingly NFL scouting, you know, consensus is high on a player and the, you know, Twitter GMs out there are high on a player and the production is great and what we know of the testing is good. He's a really good athlete, right? We have a pretty good feel for that. When like just everything is there, it usually works out pretty darn well. It doesn't usually end up where the production, the testing, the online scouts, the fake scouts, as I, you know, like to call what I basically am calling myself in this situation, when everyone's kind of looking at him and is like, yeah, I get it. And then the tape matches it as well, right? Like you turn on the tape and that looks great. It doesn't leave a lot to the imagination. He's just a really, really, really good football player. And I challenge you, like, I don't know how you could turn on his tape and be like, bah, I don't see it. It's just one of those players. Like there's question marks. We'll get to those. But I don't know, number one, how you turn on the tape and are not impressed in some way. And number two, more importantly, regardless of that, is I don't know how he fails. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a legend, a Hall of Famer, an All-Pro, even a Pro Bowler. All right. But I don't know how he busts. Add in to the top of this that we don't know any red flags for him whatsoever. Like it's just a very clean prospect in every way imaginable. And again, what that equates to in the NFL, there is no perfect pathway. What was it? Aaron Curry, the linebacker back in the day where I think he went like fifth overall and everyone was like, this is the cleanest draft profile. He's the safest pick in the draft. He's the most NFL ready and just complete and total bust. Complete and total bust. It happens. So I cannot predict the future. I cannot tell you that there might not be a bend in the road down the road, but he's massively impressive. Let's get to the positives that I had on him. As I mentioned, he is a consistent winner on tape. And that is one of the things that stands out almost immediately is just how often he wins in both run plays and in pass plays. You turn it on and it's just, oh, Derek Harmon's in the back. Oh, he's got a pressure. Oh, there's another time where he beat the offensive lineman. Even on the plays where he doesn't get an immediate win, he doesn't lose. You know, it's very, very rare where he's on the ground or where he is getting manhandled in any way or just pushed backwards. He's just so stout and he's so crafty, and it's really difficult to beat him one-on-one. And, you know, as I go through this, right, you guys know I grade every player on every play. I don't go through and grade the prospects. I'm more looking for traits. It doesn't really matter if they won or lost in college, quite frankly. It matters what they're going to become in the NFL. But when you're going through, and just think of it naturally, right? As you're going through and giving positives or negatives on a play, sometimes the best players aren't the ones that have a crap ton of unbelievable positive plays. It's the ones that very rarely have negative plays. You're just going through and it's like, yep, neutral, 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 neutral. Oh, there's a positive, neutral, positive, neutral, neutral, positive, slight negative, big positive, positive, neutral, neutral, but a lot of neutrals, right? You're going through 60, 65 snaps of a player and, you know, maybe 50 of them are neutral, you know, or maybe 55 of them are neutral. Maybe two are, you know, slight negatives and, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them are positives. Well, when you're not getting almost any negatives and they're slight negatives and you've got a good chunk of positives to counteract that, a lot of other players, they might get 5 or 6 good positives, but they've got 14, 15 negatives to counterbalance it, and it's just leaving you in a bad spot, right? Or two really bad plays. Can you smell it? Springtime is in the air and baseball is officially underway, and you know exactly what that means. It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, first inning runs, take your pick on more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. And right now you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shohei Ohtani will get more than one home run this week? How about Juan Soto more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jackson Chourio to stay hot in Milwaukee, and I'm also going to be picking pretty much every hitter against Milwaukee, seeing as their entire pitching staff is on the DL. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. This is why I kind of argue that it's really tough to imagine Harmon failing in any ways, just because he doesn't have very many negative plays on tape. It's just consistently either winning or at worst getting to a stalemate. And that's not the worst thing in the world. One of the things I would love to stress to people more is like a stalemate on the play happens the vast majority of the time where you're just, you know, both players are kind of doing what they're supposed to. Offense is giving a little, defense is giving a little, and there's going to be some push pull there. As long as you don't have the negative, and if you can make a positive, obviously you're in a really great spot, but there's a lot of neutral play on a ton of plays throughout the course of a game. That's okay. What you don't want is the big negatives, and what you want to try to do is accumulate those positives. And Harmon is accumulating positives, at least in college, at a ridiculous rate and never getting negatives. That grade is just constantly going to be high because of that. And if he can carry that over into the NFL, you've got yourself a hell of a player. One of the things that stands out to me is, so he's more of a three technique, right? He's not this 330-pound player or whatever, but I kind of equate him, they're not apples-to-apples players in their play style or, you know, how they're going to win or things like that. But he's very like Kenny Clark in the fact that you can put him at the nose and he can hold up at the point of attack. He can hold up in the run game there. And then you can move him to three technique and he can be a pass rusher for you. And those are very rare players. It is very difficult to find a player who can play basically the nose and the three technique and be good enough against the run to hold up at the nose and be good enough as a pass rusher to be the three technique. And this is one of those players, at least in college and projecting out, he projects to be somebody that can, maybe not right away, maybe right away, you know, the nose position and trying to anchor against double teams in the NFL, that might be a little bit of a tough ask for him right out the gate. But with time, I fully believe he's going to be somebody that is going to have the leverage and strength ability to hold up against double teams at the point of attack, and then also be able to rush the passer as a three technique. And as we get to more just, you know, positionless, versatile football, you're going to have two defensive tackles. You're going to want both of them to be good against the run. You're going to want both of them to be good against the pass. Well, Derek Harmon is exactly that. Does a nice job of winning with leverage despite being on the taller side. Does that let him down from time to time? Absolutely. There are plays where he gets too high, exposes his chest, and offensive linemen get in there and are able to control him a little bit. No question about it. But overall, for his size, I came away more impressed with his ability to stay low and play with leverage than I was disappointed with him constantly playing high. You get to these 6'5 defensive tackles and you can almost write the scouting report before you even watch the player of, oh, plays too high at times. I guess he's 6'4", but you know, plays too high at times. And you know, you can just, like I said, predict it. And with Harmon, I think he actually does a pretty good job of staying low, all things considered, especially with him being a little bit on the taller side. Gets his hands inside and controls the offensive lineman. So while it happens to him from time to time, he also is one that's going to get his hands on you. And because of his quick first step, which we'll talk about, he shoots out of his stance. He can get there and then all of a sudden start dictating the play because he can get his hands up quick because he's out of his stance and now hopefully can, you know, gain control of that play. And it's definitely something that you see on tape. Stays low to the ground. Again, caveats to this. Absolutely. It's not perfect. But for his size, I think he does a good job of staying low to the ground. One of the things I really liked is he attacks the outside shoulder and consistently finds angles that are advantageous. So he is going to get out of his stance and then he might give a move or he might get, you know, an arm over or a chop, whatever it might be. But he will find that little opportunity. And so many times that is all it's about. You are looking for the slightest hair of a weakness against these NFL professional offensive linemen. It is not going to be much, and you better be able to find it, and you better be able to exploit it. And with Harmon, he sees the little angles that he can take and the ability to maybe attack the out. In college, what he did a lot was attack the outside shoulder and then go through with physicality and violence and then get to the quarterback that way. So he's going to set you up one way. You're going to, you know, maybe the offensive lineman gets a little bit higher, exposed to that shoulder. He's going to maybe cut across it, attacks that angle, attacks the outside shoulder, and is able to get a leverage win in that situation. It's one of my favorite things that he does. Let's see. He is consistently in the backfield, disrupting both run and pass plays, has the ability to come in and make an immediate impact, in my opinion. Like, again, from a NFL standpoint, it is so hard to project what they're going to go from college to the NFL, right? So to say he's going to come in and make like this big impact, that it's tough to say. Your guess is as good as mine, is as good as the NFL, as GM and scouts and everyone else, right? But I believe wholeheartedly he's going to be able to come in and at worst be a real solid rotational piece for you. And I think that's the low end side here. He just is ready. He's got an NFL body. He can play the run. He can play the pass. There's no real weaknesses in his game. I believe he's going to be at worst a rotational player right out of the gate. He is scheme versatile, can fit in a 3-4, a 4-3, and over and under, whatever you want to do, he can fit in, has fantastic instincts and feel for the game. He has really nice height, weight, speed, strength. So you talk about athletes, you want height, weight, speed. He's got height, weight, speed, and he adds strength on top of it as well. He's got what you're looking for. He's got the goods, so to speak. The other thing is, I will say there's no major flaw in his game. There's nothing that you would look at and say, all right, it's great that he's fully functional, but the Death Star still had that one little, you know, spot that was weak, right? And if you have that weakness, sometimes that can be the end of you, like it was for the Death Star. Well, with Derek Harmon, I don't see anything that would give me reason for concern or belief that there is a flaw here that's like, oh, that might not be correctable. He's just good. There's no significant flaw that I think is going to hold him back in any real way. The other thing I like is he's not, you know, far be it from me. This is not like a, you know, get off my lawn or like there's too much flash in the NFL and I'm sick of the dancing, just go out and hit people. Not me. Not that's, I love the dancing. I love the flash. I love all of that. I have no issue with that. But what I mean when I say, and I'm about to say, he's not, you know, flashy. He's just substance. This is not a player that is going to try to do too much or is going to, you know, make five moves at the line to try to get to his move. Like, he is just going to attack you with all of his traits. And it's crafty. It's smart. It's taking advantage of those small little, you know, weaknesses by the opponent. It's nothing that's going to jump off the tape. It's nothing that's going to be super sexy, but my oh my is it effective. And it's really, really fun to watch. Linebackers are going to enjoy playing behind him because he will be able to eat those blocks. Multiple moves in his pass rush arsenal as an interior defender. You heard Daniel Jeremiah, club rip move. He can bull rush. Like I said, he will do a little stutter and attack the outside shoulder. He's got a lot of different things at his disposal. And as mentioned earlier, he has that very good first step right away, which is so insanely important because you want to be the one dictating terms. As soon as you can get out of your stance, you've got the ability to be the guy that is, you know, again, starting that attack and causing problems for the opponent. So love the fact that he gets out of that stance and has that very good first step. As always, with everyone, the all pros, the rookies, the practice squad guys, everything in between, there are weaknesses and negatives as well. The first one I will say is, while he's good at pretty much everything, I don't believe that there is one full-fledged, unbelievable trait that Harmon has. Now, the height, weight, speed, like the profile is really, really good, right? Like, there's no real question about that. There's nothing about his game where I'm just like, well, he's just going to overpower people every day, or he's going to out-technique people, or he's going to out-speed people, or like, there's no, again, one singular thing that I would say that's his superpower. His superpower is that he's got everything. You know, if you're doing Madden sliders here, there's not anything maxed out to 100. It's just like everything's like an 85 or an 80. That's really good. That's really, really good. And it ultimately ends up being a great overall player. But if you're looking at that one specific trait that you're just hoping is going to be a home run, I'm not sure he has it. The finishing can be better. It's a trend with a lot of these prospects, especially along the defensive line. You know what? 60 pressures this past year, 5 of them turned into sacks. 20 pressures the year before, only 1 of them turned into a sack. 16 pressures the year before that, 13 sacks. You know, so the rate is pretty consistent. You know, 1 out of 12 this past year, 1 out of 20 the year before that, that actually turned into you know, from pressures into sacks. And there's a reason for that. He lacks elite closing ability and he lacks change of direction. And those are two things that are going to cost you a little bit. Now, he's a defensive tackle that can also play the run, that can also play a little bit of nose tackle. Those types of players don't always have the greatest change of direction and don't always have elite closing speed. The ones that do are the Aaron Donalds, the Chris Joneses, like the elite of the elite, or they're the quicker 3 technique undersized types that maybe aren't holding up against the run so well. All right. If he were able to do all of this as well, he's not available at pick 23, right? There's going to be some things that are limiting for him. Otherwise, he would be gone in the top 5, maybe the top 3. That's the big thing is the change of direction and the closing speed or the closing burst. Those are things that it just doesn't always show up on tape. And you wish it would a little bit more. And you wish that those 20 sacks, or sorry, those 60 pressures turned into more sacks. I don't know if it needs to be 20 sacks, but would have been a little bit more than 5 sacks. Doesn't have the elite lateral agility either, which kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with change of direction. But what you'll see with some of these defensive tackles is they're able to get out of their stance and then almost like get lateral, like a full gap over, and really attack an offensive lineman to kind of a spot that they're not expecting it to be. When you're very, you know, just front, you know, just going one direction, it's easier for the offensive lineman to predict where you're going to be. So he doesn't have that great lateral agility. And that also hurts him on cutbacks by running backs as well. They cut back. He doesn't have that lateral agility to get to that next gap, which puts a little bit more stress on the linebackers or the defensive linemen that are playing next to him. He will fall off tackles a little bit. And my kind of going back to that elite trait, my last thing I'll say is, does he have elite top tier defensive tackle ability? I think that's the big question. I am pretty convinced he's going to be a good to really good defensive tackle. Whether or not he can be a great slash elite defensive tackle, that's an entirely different question. Without that elite trait and with some of those flaws, whether it be the lateral agility, change of direction, or closing burst, not finishing those sacks, that can limit your ceiling as a premium all-pro type player. And if you're trying to go all-pro hunting and trying to get something that's going to be a big-time return on your investment, then maybe Derek Harmon isn't quite it. Now, total transparency, I am not saying he cannot become a big-time player. I think he can. I really do. But I think that there's a really good chance that he's just this really good, consistent, solid defensive tackle from day one and into the future. Think kind of Kenny Clark. Again, not the same player, but think kind of the same career trajectory. You know, taken in the mid to late 20s and, you know, from the West Coast, UCLA, Oregon in this case, and never really all pro caliber, right? But just a really good, steady performer all throughout the course of his career that is a big time value add that can play the run, that can play the pass. Not the same player, but think of that type of impact. I think that's what you could get here with Derek Harmon. How he could fit in Green Bay, I think he fits perfect. I think he fits the scheme very well. I think he fits the fact that you could put out Kenny Clark and Derek Harmon and they can both play the run and they can both get to the quarterback. That makes it really fun on early downs. I think you can play Clark and Harmon together. I think you could play Harmon and Wyatt together. We know you can play Clark and Wyatt together. Like, you have a lot of different mixing and matching that you can do on that interior. And I think you could be looking at the long-term Kenny Clark replacement here in Derek Harmon and him being that guy that can come in and do a lot of the same stuff that Kenny has done all throughout the course of his career. Is there value at pick 23? Unquestionably. Just zero doubt about it. That is a really good slot for him. I think he could go earlier. I think he could go a little bit later, but there is no question about it. Plenty of value to take Derek Harmon at pick 23. Will he be there at pick 23? I think that's a 50-50 proposition. You flip a coin. I could see him easily going in the late teens, early 20s, just a little bit before Green Bay. I could see him going 27, somewhere around there, but I think his window is about, I'll say 15 to 27, maybe 15 to 28. I think that's probably his range. And maybe 17 to 28, 16 to 28, maybe in there, but just to be safe, I'll say about 15 to 28. But could he be there? Sure. Could he be gone? Would not shock me either. Should Green Bay take him if he's on the board? I would think it would have to be a very strong consideration that they really, you know, probably have him high on the board. And then it's just who's available and is he the highest? But I think he would have to be, if he's on the board, if he's not in their top three for sure, I'd be pretty stunned just based on what he could bring to the team. Why would Green Bay potentially pass on him at pick 23? I think the stiffness and the lateral agility would be a piece of that. We know that they value the agility and change of direction a ton. And if that is the case and they don't feel comfortable with it, then that could be one reason. And then the other thing is, we do know that Goody likes going elite, you know, player hunting from time to time, high-end traits, high-end skills, et cetera, trying to find that all-pro player. Now, it hasn't worked out for him, but that's been his philosophy. And if he's looking for that player, I think, again, the question becomes, can Harmon become that elite-level player? It's a fair question with any of these prospects, but I do wonder if he just ends up being a really, really good pro and maybe never a great slash elite one. That could be what holds Green Bay back as well. But on paper, he looks very much like a potential future Green Bay Packer. My final thoughts, really, really likable player on tape. Far more pros than cons. Should be a real legitimate possibility at 23. And I think he'd be able to come in and help immediately next to Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt as the three primary defensive tackles on this team. Will he be a Packer? Probably not. Betting on any one player to be a Packer is probably a little bit foolhardy, but I do think if he's there, there's a really strong possibility. And I think this is a real key player to keep an eye on at pick 23 for Green Bay. And as you're putting your big board together of likely picks for the Packers, Derek Harmon should be pretty high on that big board. right, friends, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate you a ton. We'll be back tomorrow with Justice Mosqueda, kicking off a brand new series today with Jacob Morley as well. For those of you who don't know, Jacob and Ross and Jacob Westendorf, amongst others, put together a Green Bay draft guide that tells you all the traits that Green Bay looks for at each of these positions based on historical trends. And the draft guide tells you basically which Packers are most likely to be considered. Well, with that in mind, Jacob Morley is going to be doing a series going position by position, about 10 to 15 minute episodes, breaking down the players at each position that are those tier one Packers type fits that fit perfectly, whether they're a first rounder, seventh rounder, undrafted free agent. Like Donovan Jennings last year was a perfect example. He was a Packer through and through. He fit perfectly. He was an undrafted guy, but you could tell he would be somebody that they'd have a ton of interest in. And lo and behold, they pick him up in undrafted free agency. There's plenty of examples of that. Dontavian Wicks was a tier one guy. Grant Dubose was a tier one guy. Those are just small, small sample sizes. But Morley today is going to be going over the cornerbacks, a very important position for Green Bay, and what corners are the most likely to be picked or, you know, sought after by the Packers based on their historical trends. So check out that later today. I'll be back tomorrow, as I mentioned, with Justice Mosqueda. Make sure to check out all of our great content on all of the Packaday podcast channels. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carla Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkle, and Jen Wright. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.